system destroyed. People are destroyed. Civilization for America is not the same anymore. You've been turned over to a great crazy jungle. One big...
greener than anything I have seen in any other ideology. That's the honest to goodness truth, no exaggeration. In fact, what I see in there is nothing but a little piece of what I see in this. It is a word. But they showed me that it's some word, I see it as a little piece of that. We know one little idea, one little verse, sometimes four words covers their whole thought. And that's a fact, I'm not joking. Covers their whole mind. Yeah, the communists come up with great idea, materialism and all that dialectic materialism. Into each according to his needs, and from each according to his ability and all that.
And I read just a few words while I cover the whole thing. Covering it without mutilating me. They give me something from that material side, but it mutilates me. Because my spiritual life and my material life are intact. They are joined together. I'm not just spiritual, I'm spiritual and material. I'm not just material, I'm material and spiritual. So when they take the one part off and don't address the other part, it's like mutilating me. But Allah tells me what I should do in the material situation. And he tells me what to do as clearly and as better than what they tell me, without mutilating me. That's why I love this religion so much. Because they don't have anything to brag about that we don't have in the Quran. Capitalism, communism. Whatever they have that fascinates man and thrills him is in the Quran. I can prove that. That can be human. Unless it fascinates you to just believe that you are everything. That's silly. They ain't gonna find that in the Quran. or to believe that some man God or some man should be followed blindly without you questioning them. No. They ain't gonna give me nothing like that. Because my book tells me to question even Muhammad. Yes. Say, and examine him, study him, look at him, right? Didn't they just take him? Look at him. Question him. And they did. And don't accept him on what he's saying, but accept him on what he is given and what proves itself. Huh? God ain't never told us to believe on Muhammad. Just believe on Muhammad and everything else is right. Believe on God. And believe Muhammad. Huh? And first is God, then Muhammad. And believe a whole lot of other things. And put them all together and test each other, huh? Test the strength of each of them with each other. And if they all stand up, they all stand the test, then know that it is right. So our religion appeals to our rational faculty, appeals to our logic, all men of logic, all men of reason, all rulers have sense. That's how this Quran addresses us. Huh? Yes. And those who reject it, they call them the superhab. Those who debase themselves. Those who retard themselves. That's what it means, the superhab. Those who retard themselves. And that's exactly what they do. They come up with these crazy ideas that free them to just be their own crazy nut in their own crazy world. And it's self-retarding. It retards you. Pretty soon you're just going backwards in your senses. You're becoming more ill-prepared to deal with the challenges of man. Right. Yes. Right. Yes. This is nothing but reality. So don't allow that to happen. Be sensible. Be thankful. Children. Because that's what most of you are. You're nothing but little children. Appreciate Allah. Be thankful to Allah. Get rid of that ignorance in your mind that this crazy world has put in your mind to keep you from having access to power, access to light and guidance. Get rid of that stuff. Surrender yourself. Submit as a child on the floor in sajda. Pour out your heart to Allah. Repent for your wrongs. Empty your head. Ain't nothing in it but bullshit. Empty it out. And then say, God, now fill the crown for me. The Quran and some of the prophets. That's what you should do. Then you'll be alive again. And you'll have hope to join the ranks of men and women. Because believe me, there's a great elimination process going on. And most of you are not, you're not staying around here on this earth. You're growing fast. Allah Most High says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. God has created the heavens and the earth in truth. And surely this is a sign for the believers. Surely this is a sign for the believers. God has created the heavens and the earth in truth. What does it mean? It means more than I can tell you in the time, the limited time that we have here today. However, this perhaps will suffice for today. It means that there is no guesswork. There's no room for play, guessing, changing what God has made the order of the heavens and earth. Whatever you do will be killed. Whatever you do will be canceled out if it doesn't agree with the scheme of God for the heavens and the earth. That's what it means. All of your efforts are futile, of no consequence. You'll be deceived by your own works, thinking you're doing something, making a big change. You haven't touched the thing. You will die, and your works will die. And the order that God established remains. That's the lesson that wise men have learned, and that's the lesson that they keep and pass on to their children. They become servants of God. Surely therein is a sign for believers. A sense of responsibility. A sense of responsibility makes possible greater productivity. The less sense of responsibility in a people, the smaller their works. The greater the sense of responsibility in the people, the greater their works. We have been conditioned by past bad experiences. Uprooted from Africa, brought under the power of another people, suffering centuries of slavery, brutal slavery, the worst kind of slavery that ever existed in the history of man, reduced to no more than a dumb animal for torture. Because many dumb animals are cherished and loved by their masters. But many of us were reduced to dumb animal for torture. Shame and torture. Delighted the perverts, the deranged, insane whites that wanted to vent their evils on another people who were helpless. This is more near the truth. If you're not strong enough for it, you ought to go kill yourself. Yeah, if you ain't strong enough for it, go kill yourself. Finish it. But we don't need nobody around here on this earth in these days and times who can't stand up to truth. Can't stand the truth, you ought to go find a planet for yourself. Go you ought to find a planet of your own. So since you don't have the life, you've been conditioned. You've been conditioned to seek relief. The white man is not motivated by a need to seek relief. White man is motivated by a need to stay in front. He's motivated by a need to stay ahead of other people. You're motivated by a need to seek relief. You want more food, better food. More transportation, better transportation. You want more lodging, better lodging. Right? Yes, that's right. So you want equal opportunity. You want more opportunity. To do what? To work for more food, better food, more clothes, better clothes, more transportation, better transportation, more lodging, better lodging. That's all you want more opportunity for. I'm talking about majority of you. Majority, great majority of African Americans and the ignorant masses, all they want is more opportunity to satisfy animal level needs. But after all, an animal needs clothing. An animal needs sex. An animal needs food. If an animal enjoy better food, just start feeding your animal better food and then feeding that stuff after a month to go back to the inferior stuff you gave. If you see, he appreciates better food too. So you ain't no laugh when you just want better food, better lodging, and better transportation, and more sex. You ain't no laugh. You ain't got no hide and a roach. A rat, a dog. That's why you know how it is there. But when you look at the world and see flaws in it, the world of man, when you look at the world of man and see flaws in it, when you look at the world of man and see critical needs in it, and you begin to desire to do something about the situation, then you have started to be a man. If you look at man's world and say, I want more food, I want more clothes, I want more transportation, you ain't nothing but a dog or a rat or a snail or something asking for some more animal needs. You're just asking for some more animal needs. And that's what they don't want to happen. They don't want the masses of the people to rise above animal level existence. See, they can care for animals. There are jungles, there are cages. There are people that want pets. There's insecticide and germicides and other things to take care of when you get too many. But conscious men and women is something different. God says, Waf'alul khayra, do good. But this is not good, they're like G-O-D. When we read good in English, G-O-D, when they do good, first thing comes to us is sentimental thing. Say, do good, we start thinking sentimentally. Huh? Yeah. You start thinking, yeah, don't do bad. So with us, good is... suggest bad. You know, say do good, it suggests that somebody done bad. But when God say, waf'alul khayra, it doesn't suggest that somebody did bad. It suggests that somebody is doing nothing or not enough. See the difference?
It suggests that somebody is doing nothing or not enough. God says, what alul khayyam? The word for good in Arabic is hard to translate in English. It means that is good by reason of it being in God's plan, in God's purpose, as a need in the life of man. That's why it's good. In simple language, it's good because it has utility for the betterment of life. That's why it's good. And everything that God has created, it has fire to it. The fire that burns, doesn't it have chayim? Yes. The liquor that makes us drunk, doesn't it have chayim? Yes, alcohol has a great chayim. And God says it, it are benefits, to man. But it says its harm is greater than its benefit. Meaning that more people suffer from alcohol than are benefited by it. That was true then, it's true today. Right or wrong? We use it to clean our wounds. They use it in the hospital to sterilize the doctor's tools, instruments. But when we weigh the service that it's doing on earth to the harm that it's doing on earth, the harm, even today, after 1400 years, outweighs good. But nevertheless, if we could just stop people from drinking and killing themselves, destroying themselves, or making a great risk to life, and use it for its good purposes, then we would think of a khamr, of alcohol, as a utility, as a good, as a useful thing to man, to society and man. Its harm would then have been gotten rid of. Yes. So God says, waf'alu khayra, do waf'alu khayra, means do good. But understand here the meaning of good. Because in Arabic there are many meanings for good. Tayyib means good. Hasana means good. There are a lot of words for good. But this word, khayr, it means that has been put in the scheme of God, in God's plan, to bring utility for the betterment of man's life. This is a khayr for you. So God says fasting is a khayr for you. Right? And the physical things that we use, the very creation itself, is a khayr. Abstract as well as concrete. There's khayr for us. When God says fasting is khayr for you, he means that it has practical benefits for you, as well as increase you in virtues. That's a practical benefit. Many people can't see the abstract gain as a practical benefit. But let me tell you, it is the abstract gains that are the strengths, the supports for every other gain. Without them, the other gains are nothing. When did this Western world, America and the West, when did they get in real trouble materially? When they got in trouble spiritually. Then their value system became confused. That's abstract, isn't it? Values are abstract. When their value system became confused, their world suffered like an earthquake. Their academic world suffered like an earthquake. Yes. And also the economic world of the West suffered like an earthquake. An earthquake come and shake the foundation. Weaken the foundation and confuse the foundation and bring things down that were structured. Huh? That's exactly what has happened to the Western world. Economically and in every other sense almost. That's what has happened. Why? Because the spirit went wrong. Spirit went wrong. The vision went wrong. The values were lost. Destruction came. Yes. If you understand it with the eye of the intelligent person, America has been destroyed while you have physically been on it living. That's nothing but reality. America has been destroyed
while we have physically been here living, we have witnessed the destruction of America. Just because they still have big store of bombs, atomic bombs, and great fleets, and spaceships going out, that ain't the proof of life. The proof of life for Americans is in the value system of the American people. It's in the value system of the American people. It's in the spirit of the American people. It is in the vision of the American people. Spirit gone, vision lost, value system destroyed. People are destroyed. Civilization for America is not the same anymore. We've been turned over to a great crazy jungle, one big Woodstock. So you should understand these things. And then you as people who came into a sense of the greatness of this country as slaves and then began to aspire for equal share in the greatness of this country. And were denied that and didn't achieve that. And saw the destruction of the country before you got your share. You have never had your great aspiration to realize a share of a great America. You should be the one leading America back into greatness. Because you didn't get your. You don't understand. I'm telling you, people don't understand. If you understood what I'm saying, you'd be shouting. If you understood what I'm saying, you'd say, I'm free! Because what I'm saying is freedom. It makes possible success. Not for you as an individual, but for you as a people. And God has made it easy. Because the people who will stand in your way are weak. They're not strong anymore. They are weak. They're so weak that if you make a daring effort to do it, they'll follow you. And they'll tell their white brothers and sisters, I don't care what color he is, I'm following him. Because their situation is just that desperate. Maybe they got something coming, but all I see so far is nothing but patchwork or something that's finished. Right. Yeah. It ain't happened before. We ain't talking about something that never happened before. It has happened before that civilization has come up and ruled the world, had their beautiful time, heyday of their life, and suddenly came to an end. While the country was not invaded, no foreign power came on their land, but they just went down and became dust. Huh? So history gives us that. All right. So look, maybe Allah has chosen this little few. Stretch your imagination a little bit. Maybe Allah has chosen this little few, those that love Allah, this Quran, Muhammad. Maybe Allah has chosen this little few, and maybe he said, I'm going to make these people high-spirited. I'm going to make them have daring ability. Going to give them the sense of power and courage. Think of what they can do for my pleasure. Or make them feel bigger than the people who towered over them. And through them, I'm going to lead the way for the rest again. How do you know that's not God's plan? If it's not his plan, why has he given me this spirit? That's my spirit. My spirit is not to follow your people. I have no spirit to follow any of your people. Why is that spirit in me? Huh? I'm not a vain man. I'm not a greedy man. I want nothing for myself, really. I'd be happy to go with Shirley and my family and go raise everybody and just live a peaceful life until I'm finished. So why is God giving me this spirit? It's not for me. It's not for my... I don't need it personally. And my wife is not demanding this of me. She doesn't care one way or the other. She'd be happy if I just take her and the family and go all the way somewhere, as long as she knows the bill's going to be paid and I'm going to be her sweetheart. So I ask the question, if you're a believer, if you're a believer in God, I'm asking the question, why has God given me this troubling spirit that won't allow me to stay with Shirley? Won't allow me to go off from the people, but force me to address you and to tell you to open up your mind, open up your heart, and open up your vision to see bigger, to think bigger, to sense bigger, to feel bigger. Why is God giving that to me?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
I think it's because he has chosen me and you to bring in a new world. Think it can't be done. It has happened before. It can happen again. Allah Most High says in his book, he says, the Prophet Muhammad, Utlu ma uhiya. اطلو ما اوحي اليك من الكتاب واقم الصلاه. Says, اطلو, recite what has been revealed or inspired in you from the book, the revelation. واقم الصلاه, and establish prayer. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Surely prayer wards off indecency and evil. Odious, hateful things are all gotten rid of by prayer.
Yes.
See how important it is for us to keep a prayer,
yes,
to be regular in our prayer,
yes,
to feel it a great duty and obligation. And if we don't do it, don't dismiss yourself. Don't say, well, I didn't do that. Hey, you can't do that in America. Don't have that kind of attitude. Feel bad about it. Even if you couldn't do it because of a great necessity, still feel bad about it. And if you do, Allah will make a situation one day where we can do it. He will give us an economic, Islamic economy. He will give us a Muslim economy, a community economic base, so that we won't have to work for people who keep us away from our duty. So we can make our five plans right on our job. Don't stop hoping for these things. You never be satisfied with less than what Allah has prescribed for us. Keep that spirit and that hope in you. Aspire for the greatness that Allah has shown to us. And I'm telling you, in time, the possibilities will be here. And God says, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, and the remembrance of God is greatest. It's greatest, Akbar. What does Akbar mean? Tell you what it means, it means just what it says. Greater. Prophet Muhammad, when he went to battle, you know what his battle cry was? Allah tells us in this Quran, if we understand the science, Allah tells us in the Quran that He's the only one can take life. You may see yourself, look, the proof of it is, look at all these attempts to take life here in the late years and fail. I heard just the other day, a man tried to take his life and his girlfriend's life. He was 70 years old, I think, and he had problems with this girl, 22. Now, this is no joke. This is real. It just happened lately. He takes his gun. This actually happened within the last week or so. 70 something. I'm not sure, but just a little over 70. He took his gun and he shot the girl once in her head and killed her. Then he took the gun and turned it on himself. He didn't shoot himself in the head. He shot himself in the stomach. 3 times. Neither he nor the girl died. Woo. Now he thought he had the power to kill. He had a gun. That's supposed to be the power to kill. You got a gun, you got the power to kill. And he shot the woman in the head. She didn't die. He shot himself in the stomach 3 times. He didn't die. Looked like he's going to face trial. And the girl going to have a chance to ask him why he shit, why he shit in the head. But if any of you all can send a letter, a message to the girl, tell her that I say the reason why he shot her in the head once is because he thought what was wrong with her was her head. And the reason why he shot himself in the stomach 3 times, he thought what was wrong with him was his appetite. The girl had the wrong thinking and he had the wrong appetite. A very appealing attempt, wasn't it? And God says, and surely the remembrance of God is the greatest. And many Muslims, they understand this to mean the greatest power on earth. The greatest power possibly for man. If you want power to aid you, remember God. Once you remember Him, He remembers you. That's what He says in the book. If you will remember me, I will remember you. And when He say, I will remember you, He means I will respond to you. That's what God means. If you remember me, then I'll come to your needs. I'll come to your aid. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَصْنَعُونَ. And God knows what you are doing. But this word tasna'un means what you are doing to get ahead. The same word in Arabic is used in another connection to condemn the person. Says, and there are those who are busily working and reckon their works to be a credit in the eyes of God. They're busy trying to structure something, to achieve something, to accomplish an end. And they reckon, they reason within themselves that their task and their works is something that God's going to favor, God loves. And don't you know these people, we see them in the world all the time? They build, would have spent great money, millions and millions, on recreational facilities, sports facilities. And won't spend that on education in the poor community. Plenty of money on games. Plenty of money on sport and play. But won't spend half or a tenth of that money to improve the intellect of the poor community. And they do reckon their works to be something that make them look good in God's eyes. They honor such people, don't they? They built this and they gave this and they made this and they donated that. They made it possible for these children to come out here and do hula hoops and dump in the water. And the same children don't have no help for their brain. No help for their hearts. Right? Yes. And then there are those that vision the future of man and use science blindly without respecting what God has ordered and what God has told man in the scriptures. And they build a world and they think they're building it to the glory of man and God. They thought they was building these ghettos, they're building these metropolises to the glory of man and God. And then later saw the consequences of their own work as nothing but trouble in the life of man. Death and pollution to the plants, and death and pollution to man. Huh? They came to realize late at the end of their works that what they were doing was detrimental, very harmful to the life of plant and man, plant, animal, and man. Why? Because they ignored God. They were just going to build a name for themselves, trying to prove that they're Superman. Again, Allah Most High says in this book, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى فَسَوْفَ يُرَى. There can be nothing for the human being without him striving for it, and his striving shall materialize. Now, if Karl Marx had said that, oh boy, his slaves would be out there with his slogan up on the side, right? They'd be marching all up and down the street with his slogan on the side. God has said that. God has said that. You should be marching with it on the side. You should be marching through the slumbering, wasted ghettos, blighting areas of the city with Quranic verse. And surely the human being can have nothing without striving for it. And his striving shall soon materialize. Isn't that a great message to the people without hope? Whose hopes have been killed, spirit has been killed, faith in the future has been killed, who think life is just gone and has nothing to do but just play it out until you're dead? Wouldn't that be a great message to carry on your placards, on your signs, and through the neighborhood? Say, God says the human being can have nothing without striving for it, and your striving will soon materialize. That's hope. That's a message of hope. I hope you're accepting everything I'm saying. And in the context of the talk, which is that the Muslim must have faith and a sense of responsibility. And that all should be determined or identified or seen within the context of Quran and the religion as demonstrated in the life of our Prophet. Peace and the blessings be upon him. And we pray that he guide our hearts and guide us and strengthen our hearts in the faith and forgive us for our sins. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. آمين. There is, pardon me, this is not part of the address, but this is just my aspiration that I hope you will share with me, and I do believe many of you share. I do believe that a great number of Muslims that have not given up on this religion, who have not fully come to know this religion yet, but have not given up on this religion.
That's right.
I believe that there's a great number out here on this East Coast, especially in the New York area. And I think we should be, as I would say, faithful and as courageous as we, in this day and time, as we were when he was struggling with the teachers of the Imam Elijah Muhammad. In fact, we have it in the religion, where God says, and glorify God with the devotion that you had when you were ignorant, when you were glorifying your false gods. But he said, and even more. So God required of those people who were converted from the wrong way that once they accept the right way, they shouldn't be half-hearted, they shouldn't be half-spirited, they should be even as enthusiastic behind the right as they were behind the confusion.
That's right.
And even more enthusiastic.
That's right.
And I remember we secured with the help of the wonderful brothers in New York and the sisters supporting them, we secured the Madison Square Garden for a meeting some years ago. We should secure the same facility or one equal to that or better again. It's going to cost money, but we should do it. Look how much money they spend to sell their products. Huh? So that'll be money they spend on a facility. That money can go to help some poor people. Don't you know the poor people are helped when this religion is published more? Yes. So let us think about that.
Yes, sir.
I would like to see us come back here in a big facility that will house thousands of people and prepare for 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. Yes, and we will address the public, and Muslims will address the Muslims. The public will be invited. And let the public hear how we address the Muslims. We won't be addressing the public, we'll be addressing the Muslims. We want the public to know that we don't have no secret thing going on here. We invite the public to see what the Muslims' life is and what the Muslims are all about and what we want. So we'll address the Muslim. The Muslim life, the Muslim needs, the Muslim future, the Muslim role in the life of community, the Muslim destiny, the Muslim relationship to the outer community. We'll address the Muslim and invite the public to come say, now see, can you live with these people? Say, this is us. Can you live with us? We invite you to see us. Come and see us. We want to live with you. Can you live with us? And you have nowhere to go. Can you join us? You who are lost and ain't satisfied with your life. Would you like company? Come on in our company. Yes. Why shouldn't we do that? That's our duty. It's our duty to do that. You think my Prophet Muhammad was satisfied just to get the religion and give it to his wife?
No.
So I think we got some people. I've been encouraged by what I've heard from New York already. I think we got some people here, and I think we can do it. We should get a big facility and invite people, all the Muslims of the East Coast come. Yes. In fact, those out of the region, if they close by, within reason to come, they should come. Everybody come. Invite the public to see what the Muslim vision is, what the Muslim purpose is in America, what the Muslim's future is, what the Muslim destiny is, what the Muslim role in society is, what the Muslim concern is for American people too. Let them see us in our full picture. And invite them to live together with us, and let's cooperate for the good life of all American citizens. And those that want to join us, praise be to Allah. Those that don't, praise be to Allah. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. Great to talk. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.